So let's get started over here. We're holding six lines from the bottom. Gimel Amud Beis. Kevan Shalos, we're in the middle of the story where David HaMelech gets up in the middle of the night, and because he had his harp positioned, the truth is we have to remember that the Gemara is in the middle of a question over here. Does David really know when the middle of the night was, when Chatzos was? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know this. And the Gemara says, no, because David HaMelech had a harp over there. So a natural phenomena of the northern wind blowing used to be the thing that woke him up. Good morning. So so that's the Gemara's response. The Gemara's response is that David was relying on natural phenomena of the northern wind blowing to wake him up. And once the Gemara is speaking that out, so it's speaking out the story of what used to happen. He used to wake up in the middle of the night, and he used to work, and he used to learn in Torah the entire night. And Kevan Sha'ala Amud HaShachar, once it became dawn. So now this part of the story doesn't have any relevance to the previous discussion, and we're going to get back to the previous discussion. But the Gemara just finishes off the Braisa. Nichnasu Chachmei Yisrael, the Chachmei Yisrael, the Chachamim, went into David HaMelech, and Amrloi Adoineinu HaMelech, they tell them, our master, our king, Amcha Yisrael, your nation, Tzrichin Parnasa, requires sustenance. We need food. There's a severe economic crisis in the country, and since you're the king, you better solve it. Go ahead and get Parnasa one from the other. So do internal commerce. This is before exports and imports. Do internal commerce. And possibly, meaning, have the rich people give the poor. So, Rashi says, So in other words, either get business done from one another or have the rich people support the poor. So Amrulai, they say back to him, Ain hakoimetz must be a sari. A koimetz, meaning you cannot have this tiny amount satisfy, good morning, you cannot have this tiny amount satisfy a lion. It's not enough. We don't have enough money to support ourselves. Right now, our economy just cannot handle that. There's too many poor people. There's too many people on welfare. There's too many people on we're just not going to make it. And a second expression, the Ein Habor Mismale Michulyase. This is Machlekes Rashi, and this is exactly what this means. But the way Rashi explains it is, if you uproot a handful of dirt from a pit, or you uproot, you know, dirt to create a pit, so, and you want to go and put that dirt back in the pit, it's not going to fill it up. So, Taisus over here says, that's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying, take a pit. First of all, two questions. Number one, if you go ahead and you, you know, dig a pit in the middle of the floor, and then you re-put all that dirt back. I think there is a pile. I think it does get bigger because it's not packed as strong. So maybe it means that if you already have a pit, and then you take out a scoop of earth and you put it back in, it's not going to fill up the whole pit. Perhaps that's what it means. But Tosis points out, anyways, that's not what David HaMelech was saying. David HaMelech wasn't saying take a dollar from a poor man and give it back to him. He was saying take from the rich and give to the poor. So either way, it means, It's an expression that's saying that we do not have enough, economic movement to sustain our country. They were still at this point in David HaMelech's time. I mean, they were already already a country for a couple hundred years. But nevertheless, they're saying at this point in time we do not have enough business, people, commerce, in order to sustain our country. So Amar Lahem, he told them, Lechu upashtu yideichem bigidayid. All right, so we'll have to go to war. We'll have to conquer a nearby country and make them either take their wealth or expand our country or collect taxes from them. But we need to survive. So Miyad, immediately, yoyatzim ba'achitoyfel, they took advice from Achitoyfel. Achitoyfel was going to be their wise general in how to conduct the war, in which countries to attack, in what to start preparing, and things like that. V'nimlachin b'Sanhedrin, they asked the Sanhedrin the permission. V'shoyalin b'urim v'tumim, they asked the Urim v'tumim, the the conduit to Ruach HaKodesh to find out if Hashem would help them in this war or not. And this was obviously those stones that were worn on the the answers lit up on the Choshen of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So they asked Ki'ilu, they asked Hashem, will we be successful in our venture? And Amar of Yosef Maikra, where do we see that this is the pasuk, that that's the way to go? First you ask, you know, the general, then you ask the Sanhedrin, then you ask the Urim V'Tumim. Because it says, V'achari Achitofel ben Yahu ben Yahayada. Morning, good morning. V'aviyasar v'sar tzva l'melech Yoav. That's the pasuk. So who's Achitofel? Achitofel is Zeyoyetz. He's the one who we're going to ask the advice, the military advisors, how to conduct the... how to conduct the how to conduct the war. The Kain who Isa and V'chein who Omer, the Atzas Achitofel Asher Yo'atz Bayomim Mahem, as it says, Achitofel is the one who gave them the advice, as it says, and the advice of Achitofel, who was the advisor in those days, Kasher Yisha'al B'dvar Ha'elekim, B'Neyahu Ben Yahayada. Then they asked B'Neyahu Ben Yahayada. That is the Sanhedrin. So the next person they would ask is the Sanhedrin, is it permissible for us to go to war? Followed by Aviyasar. Aviyasar was the Kohen. Elu Urim V'Tumim. These were the Kohen who was asked by the Urim V'Tumim. V'chein hu amar uben Yahu ben Yahayada al ha-kreisi v'al ha-pleisi. As it says, uben Yahu ben Yahayada al ha-kreisi v'al ha-pleisi. So we see that first they went to ben Yahu. Ben Yahu was, again, the part of the Sanhedrin. He was the Av Beis Din. And then they asked Ala Kreisi Vala Plesi, which was the Urim V'Tumim. The Lama Nikra Shema Kreisi Uplesi. Why was the Urim V'Tumim called Kreisi Uplesi? Kreisi Shekorsim Devarim, because they used to give answers which were very precise and very concise. So therefore, it was very, like the word Koras means to cut off. So the answers were like cut off. They were very clipped and very concise. And Plesi is because Shemuflo'em B'dvarim, because they were wondrous. They used to give answers that were wondrous. And afterwards they would ask the local generals. In other words, at first they asked Achitofel, who was going to be the military advisor. He was the guy who stayed back and he advised. And then they asked the actual generals who, the head of the troops, let's get going. So this whole thing is really in brackets, it's the end of the Brisa on what happened one morning when David was up. One morning, David was up and they told him that we needed... I don't think this was a daily event. But this is when they would come to David with the internal politics and the internal questions on how to run the country. They would come to him after Shacharis, after a full night of learning. Incidentally, the Chazon Ish says if you want to get a good answer on a question, you want to get Das Torah in your mind, you should go ahead and learn straight for 6 hours, and then think about the question that you want to know. And then that first thought that you have is Das Torah. That's what the Chazon Ish says. So that's what happened with David HaMelech. He got up by Chatzos. He sat there learning for the next 6 hours. And then they used to come to him and ask. And they asked him their civil questions in the morning, and how to run the country. So maybe this is even where the Chazon Ish gets it from. Just thinking out loud. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ada V'Amrila Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Breit Rav Idi Maikra. What is the pasuk that sources that David HaMelech used to get up in the middle of the night? Ura Kavaydi, I should wake up. Let me wake up. Ura Hanevel V'Chinor, let my harp wake me up. A'ira Shachar, and I will wake up the morning. Usually, the morning wakes you up. David HaMelech preceded the dawn when he woke up, and therefore he woke up the morning. Rabbi Zera Amar. So that's the first answer. The Gemara's question was, does David HaMelech know when Chatzos is? Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when Chatzos was. The Gemara answers, yes, David HaMelech knew because he hung a harp, and the northern wind blows at exactly Chatzos, so that's how he knew. But you're right, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. The Gemara's second answer is, and Gemara's going to have a third answer afterwards, but second answer is Rabbi Zera Amar, Moshe lo ilam havayada. Of course Moshe knew when Chatzos was. But David nami havayada. And David also knew even without the harp blowing. So, if he knew, why did he hang up the harp? V'kevin to David havayada, kinor lamale. Since David HaMelech did know that there was He was able to figure out the times of Chatzos even without the harp. So why did he need his harp? The Gemara answers Le'atura Mishinase, to wake him up. It was his alarm clock. It wasn't to tell him when Chatzos was. That he was able to know. It was to wake him up. So the Gemara says, "V'kevin de Moshe haviyada." If Moshe really knew, "Lama le lemeimer kachatzos?" Why did he say around chatzos? The Gemara answers, "Moshe kasabar." Moshe was of the opinion, "Shema yitu and stagnine parai." He knew personally when the midnight was, but the Egyptian priests and those who the tabloids and all the, you know, the media, they're going to mix it up. And you can imagine the headlines the next day. Even though there's millions of dead people around, what will the headlines be? Moshe off by 2 minutes. So they're the ones who might have made the mistake. So therefore, Moshe therefore said, around Chatzos, as not to give them any fodder. Yeah, for sure, 100%. And of course, they spin everything, you know. And the people would say, Moshe was a faker. Moshe was a liar. The Amar Mar, as it states in a Braisa, Lamad L'Shoincha Loimar, you should get used to Lamad L'Shoincha, means teach your tongue to say. But it means get used to saying, Eini Yodea. It's best to say, I don't know. Shema Tisbade, perhaps you will at one point make a mistake, you will found to be doing false, but Toiches, and you'll be held accountable for that mistake. So if a person goes ahead and constantly says, if he's always very decisive in his you know, pronunciations and his words and everything like that, he will eventually something's going to be off, and he's going to be taken to task for that. Especially a person in politics, he should be as vague as possible. So therefore, he's not going to. He will never be held accountable, and especially if he could say, "I don't know." Now, obviously, if he's always saying, I don't know, he's not going to be in politics for much, you know, for too long. But he should, you know, be as vague as possible, so therefore he won't be held accountable for any mistakes. Rav Ashi Omer, a third answer. Rav Ashi says, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu... Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu did know when Chatzos was, and so did the Egyptians. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu say, Chatzos means around Chatzos? You know what around Chatzos means? The Gemara says the Gemara doesn't mean around Chatzos. The Gemara's, the Pasuk meant Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paroi and the Egyptians the night of the 13th. And it was Chatzos at that time. So he said, just like right now, tomorrow, that's when it's going to happen. So they all knew when Chatzos was. But he was saying, like right now, that's when it's going to be tomorrow. Rav Ashi Amar, Bepalga Orta, half the night, the Tlesar of the 13th, Naghi Arbesar, Erev the 14th. So he was in the middle of the 13th night, 13 and 14. Havikoi, that's when he was schmoozing with the Egyptians. The Hachikamer Moshe, and this is what Moshe was saying, Yisrael. Did they change it? Yeah, probably take out the Yisrael, because this was the Parak. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lamachar, tomorrow, kachatzos alayla kihedna, at the middle of the night, just like right now, and the yaitz b'teich Mitzrayim. Hashem is going to go out throughout Mitzrayim. Once the Gemara is on the topic of David HaMelech, the Gemara finishes off another memra of David HaMelech, but this is just now a tangent. The David Shamar Nafshi ki chasid ani, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. David Melech is saying, I am a chassid, I am a devout person. So there's a machlekes in the Gemara exactly what this means. Levi v'Rav Yitzchak, there's a machlekes between Levi and Rav Yitzchak, what this means. Chad Omar, one says, is of the opinion, Kach Omar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David said in front of Hashem. This is what David meant with this pasuk. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the World, Loi chassid ani, am I not a chassid, a righteous, devout individual? Shekol malchei mizruch umayir, of all the other kings in the east and the west, Yishanim ad shalosh shos. They sleep until the third hour of the day. They take life easy. Va'ani, and I, chatzos laila akum. I get up at the middle of the night, lahaydeis lacha, to thank you. So one of them said that that's what David HaMelech was saying. Ve'iduch, and the other one was saying, Kach omer David lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. So was David saying in front of Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, the master of the world, Loi chasid ani, am I not a righteous, devout individual? Shekol malchei mizruchu ma'arav, all the kings in the east and the west, yoishvim agudais agudais bechoidim, they sit there in groups and talk about their honor and things like that. Ve'ani, and I, yodi meluch lachais bedam, my hands are sullied, are full of blood. That blood of Nidus, because the halacha is, obviously, that there are certain maras that are tahar. And therefore, sometimes your hands get dirty. That's, obviously these are some things that a Rav does daily, but to say that David HaMelech did it also, David HaMelech was saying, this is what I do all day long. And this is taka what the Rabbanim do all day long. They go ahead and they're inspecting underwear, inspecting, bedika cloths. So my hands are meluchluch badam. Back then it was much worse, because back then there was the actual shades of red. Certain shades were mutter. So you actually had to see real pads. And there was one time that I got a pad that was soaked with dam, like a full pad. And I'm not sure, it was obviously a first-timer, because, it was not a question, this was a heavy period. But this is what it was back then. I was thinking of this Gemara back then. Because literally your hands get red with blood when you touch it. So it wasn't a shayla. I think, no good. So that's what you had to tell her. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, this is what your hands get really red with blood. Of course, it was kedai to invest in Purell. But but that's what David HaMelech was saying. I'm not busy with other things. I'm busy with paskening shaylos. Ubeshvir, ubeshilya. This is a bit different size of fetuses that came out. And the question is it old enough to require her? See, the halacha is that if a lady has a baby, so she's allowed to bleed for 7 days, 14 days, whatever it is. And then afterwards, any blood that comes out is tahar. So we have to paskin on fetuses whether or not it is big enough or old enough to give her yumei tahar. So also to paskin if she's chayav on a carbon. So there's a lot of different shaylos that one has to actually has to inspect the actual fetal matter that comes out. And this is before the days of surgical gloves. So your hands get dirty. So kedei latahar ish labayla. So, and I do that only kedei latahar ish labayla. Just the other day, I had a yom shvi'i with somebody. It means it was on the seventh day, the lady was about to go to the mikvah, and she did a bedika, and it wasn't good. And I felt bad, yom shvi'i, and I looked at it, and I said, it's no good, but I feel terrible. So yom shvi'i, seventh day, you have to restart the count, and you can't even restart now, you have to restart tomorrow, because we're already after shkia. So I'm like, I'll do you a favor, I'm going to run to Rabbi first, and I'll see if I can get any backup. And so I call Rabbi first, like, I just got in a car, and I'm leaving to Indiana. So I said, okay, fine. But I feel bad because it's a Yom Shvi. And Lamaisa, I can't be Matarev, but I was hoping the Rav would. He's like, all right, bring it over right now. I'm going to tell the car to wait. So I ran over, I brought it over. He's like, listen, Taka wasn't good. But he's like, in order to be Matarev, Isha Labayla, sometimes you have to take a bit of annoyance. That's, it's a 7 days. It's a big deal. It's hard. It's a hard deal. So that's what David Melch was saying. It's Kedei L'Tahar Isha L'Baila it's a big deal. So that's what I would do. I get my hands sullied with blood instead of just sitting around like the other kings. Anything I do, ani nimlach b'mifi boishes. I asked Mifi Boishes, who was David HaMelech's Rebbe. Mifi Boishes Rebbe, my Rebbe Mifi Boishes. Yafa Danti, did I pass incorrectly? Yafa Chiyavti, did I say this guy is chayav correctly? Yafa Zachisi, Yafa Tiharti, did I say this person is correctly? Yafa Tiharti, did I say this thing is tahar correctly? Yafa Tamesi, did I say this thing is tame correctly? V'loi Boishti, and the fact that I have to double check everything I do, I'm not embarrassed by, because I want to make sure that I'm right. So we see, first of all, the midah of Anova. Also, we see that a person shouldn't be scared to double check with another, if he's in any profession that he's in, if he's a lawyer, a doctor, and certainly a rav, a person shouldn't be embarrassed to double check, call up a fellow rav or text him and say, just making sure that this is true. And David HaMelech did it. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua Breider of Idi Maikra. What is the pasuk that says this? So that's what David HaMelech was saying. Everything I check, I double check with Mifi Boishes. So what's the pasuk? Va'adabra ba'edesecha, I speak with your halachas neged malachim in front of other kings. V'lo yevash, and I'm not embarrassed. So I double check everything I do. Tana, the Braisa says, Loi Mifi Baishish, my Mifi Baishish, the Rebbe of David, his name wasn't Mifi Baishish. His real name was Ish Ela Ish Baishish, or Ish Baishish, Shemai. V'lama Nikra Shemai Mifi Baishish, why do we call him Mifi Baishish? Because Shahayim Mivayish Pnei David Bahalacha, he used to always embarrass David. I don't know if it was on purpose, like, oh, you fool, or just the fact that sometimes David was wrong, so he got embarrassed. Shahayim Mivayish Pnei David Bahalacha, he used to embarrass David Bahalacha. The Fikach, but still, since David did not get embarrassed, and he continued to check with his rabbi. Zocha David, David was zeicha v'yatzim menu and kiloiv, and this his one of his sons from Avigail, I believe, was named Kilev, and Kilev was a super genius who outsmarted even Mifi Baishis. V'am Rav Yechanan like Kilev Shemai Ela Daniel Shemai. His real name was Daniel. V'lama Nikra Shemai Kilev Shahim Mechalem. He used to embarrass Pnei Mifi Baishis. He got so smart that he was Mechalim, so therefore the call, Av was the father of Chachma, Mephi Baishas. So he used to embarrass the father of Chachma, so we called him Kol Av. Pnei Mephi Baishas, Bahalacha. Va'alav Amar Shlomi B'Chachma say, and Shlomi has a pasuk about this, his brother, it was a half-brother, but Shlomi Melech had a pasuk about his half-brother, talking as if he was David HaMelech. This is a pasuk in Mishlei, Bini, my son. So it's as if David HaMelech is talking to his half brother. Im chacham libcha yismach libi gamani. If you become so smart, my heart is also happy. Why? Because he's sort of like getting back at Mephi Baishas. Va'amer chacham bini, you should become wise. V'sameach libi va'ashiva charfi davar, and I will be able to respond to those who embarrass me. So of a David, so from these psukim, it's mashma that Mephi Baishas wasn't gentle in his explanations of the psak, because otherwise, what would if the Rebbe was gentle and he was just like, no, it's Adik, I think it's a Tame, so then I don't know if David would be so like, you know, Yismach Libi Gamoni when Mifi Boishes it was proven wrong. Unless the part is that he was happy that his psak was correct. So I'm not sure. It's dangerous to talk about these things. Let's opt for the second thing, that he was gentle, but nevertheless, David was happy. Even though it would be hard to call him Chorfi Dover then. All right, we'll leave it.
Where do they come that Mephibosheth was his teacher, his Rebbe?
That's what he says. He says that he used to ask Mephibosheth everything.
He's younger than David.
Right, I understand. But even still, David Melch used to ask him everything. The Gemara says, he also says Rebbe, the last word, Ani Nimlech ben Mephibosheth's Rebbe, he used to ask Mephibosheth's my Rebbe. The Gemara asks, David, Mikari Lanafshe Chassid, is he calling himself a Chassid, a righteous, devout individual? V'haksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Lulei Hem Anti Lirois B'tuv Hashem, if it was not for the fact that I believed in seeing the goodness of Hashem, Be'eretz Chaim, in the land of the life, it's probably the next world. V'tana Mishmei Rabbi Yaisi, and if you look into Hill, it says a Bryce in the name of Rabbi Yaisi, that if you look into Hill, there are dots on top of the word Lulei. Lama Nakar Alulei. Now, whenever we have dots on top of a word in Chumash and in Tanakh, it means that this word has to be taken out of context. So the word Lulei does not mean if it was not for the fact that I believed. In other words, I do believe, but rather Lulei must mean I don't believe. Lama Nakar Alulei. Amar David Lefanei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribayin Shalom Muftachani Bechal Sha'atam Mishalim Schar Tov LaTzadikim. Hashem, David said to Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ribayin Shalom, Master of the World, Muftachani Bechal. I trust in you that you Sha'ata Mishalim will pay Schar Tov LaTzadikim. Will pay proper reward to the Tzadikim La'asad Love in the next world. Aval, but Eini Yadea Im Yesh Li Chelik Behem. I do not know if I have a portion in those rewards, Imlav or not. So we see, that's what the word lulei means. Lulei means, he means to say, I don't have bitachon that I'm going to see good reward in the next world. So we see, David HaMelech is not sure that he's a chassid. So the Gemara, what does that first pasuk mean then? And the Gemara says, no. David HaMelech knows that he does things that are proper and righteous. What he's scared about, this that he says that he's not sure he's going to see Gan Eden, is because Shema Yigram HaChet. He definitely did tons of good things. And that's what he said, Hashem, am I not a chassid? I do everything good. But I'm scared maybe sin will cause me to lose Olam Haba. Just like a statement said in the name of the Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, just like a statement said in the name of Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. The Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Idi Ramiksev, he says, I have a steer in the psukim. It says, Vihine, Anoichi imcha v'shamarticha b'chol asher telech. This is Hashem saying to Yaakov Avinu, and behold, I am with you, and I will watch you and everywhere you go. V'chsev, and it says, Vayiru Yaakov ma'oid, and Yaakov was very frightened. What do you mean? Why are you frightened? Hashem promised you that you're going to be with him. The answer, that he's going to be with you. The answer is, Amar Shema Yigur Machet. Yaakov believed in that promise, but he was like, maybe that promise was for somebody who didn't sin, and maybe I sinned. Another brisa kedetanya. Ad ya'avor amcha Hashem, this is the pasuk that we sing by Yoz Yashir. Ad ya'avor amcha Hashem, ad ya'avor amzu kanisa. The Gemara says that the first ad ya'avor is referring to the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, or even after Moshe Rabbeinu, of Yehoshua, that went into Eretz Yisrael. Ad ya'avor amcha Hashem, zubia rishayna. Ad ya'avor amzu kanisa is referring to the generation of Ezra as they came up from Golus Bavel into Yerushalayim for the second time. Zubia shniya, that's the second coming of Klal Yisrael to Yerushalayim. So the fact that the pasuk in Shemois puts them together, mikan amru chachamim, from here the chachamim say that reuyin hayu Yisrael li'asus lehem nes, that Klal Yisrael was roy, it was fitting for a miracle to happen to Klal Yisrael b'mei Ezra, during the days of Ezra, just like kederach shenas lehem b'mei Yehoshua ben Nun, just like all the miracles that happened during Yehoshua ben Nun, when Yehoshua ben Nun completely conquered Eretz Yisrael and settled the land. Ella said, and technically, Klal Yisrael should have been on a level during the times of Ezra, that the same miracles would have happened during the times of Ezra in the second coming towards Yerushalayim. Ella, but Shigar Machet, Lamaisa, there was still sin amongst Klal Yisrael, and therefore they were not able to have such miracles. Therefore they had to ask the king, they had to get permission from Kairish, and there was a lot of people who prevented it, and it was a difficult rebuilding. The rebuilding of the second base of Mikdash was fraught with problems and bureaucratic red tape, and therefore, that technically it should not have been like that, because Klal Yisrael should have been, was technically on the level, they did things that were on the level of, that would have been, you know, gotten them to be zeichet to have the same success as during the first time. However, they lost it because of other sins. All right, that sums up the first line of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, the Chachamim argue and they hold that you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema until Chatzos. Again, we had a machlekas in the Mishnah. What time are you allowed to read Kriyat Shema until? Rabbi Elazar holds until the end of the first Mishmar. And we explained, because he holds B'shachbecha, when you go to sleep, means when people are actually going to sleep. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, it means B'shachbecha means when people are sleeping, so you could read it the entire night. And the Rabbanan say until Chatzos. So what do the Rabbanan hold? Chachamim command Svir Lehu. Who do they hold like? Ik Rabbi Elazar, Svir Lehu. If they hold like Rabbi Elazar, that B'shachbecha means when you're going to sleep. So then, say Leim Ruk Rabbi Elazar. Let them say like Rabbi Elazar, that you're only allowed to say Kriyat Shema up until the third hour. And if they hold like the Rabban Gamliel, Leim Ruk, they should say Rabban Gamliel. If you hold like Rabban Gamliel, the word B'shach Becha means while you are sleeping, so then you should say, you're allowed to say the Kriyat Shema the entire night. Leim Ruk Rabban Gamliel. They should say like Rabban Gamliel. And the Gemara answers like we explained back in the Mishnah, La'olam k'Rabban Gamliel svirlehu. Really, the Rabbanan hold like Rabban Gamliel. Aye, if that's true, why did they say up until, they're only allowed to read the Kriyat Shema up until Chatzos? V'hodika amri, and this that they say ad Chatzos is k'dei l'harchik as ha'adam min ha'avera, to distance a person from ever violating an avera. You shouldn't push things off to the last minute. You have credit card bills to pay, you got mortgage bills to pay, don't pay it on the last day. Because you might come to, you know, by mistake at the last second, oh, you have a wedding and this and that, and you might come to forget it. You should get into the habit of doing things right away. So therefore they say, you have to say Kriyat Shema by Chatzos. To distance a person from an avera of missing the proper time for Kriyat Shema. Kedetanya, as it says in the Braisa, Chachamim asu siyag ledevrayim, the Chachamim made a siyag, made a fence for their words, so that a person shouldn't come from the field be'erev in the evening. I'll go first to my house, I'll eat a little bit, I'll drink a little bit, I'll sleep a little bit, and afterwards I'll read Kriyat Shema and I will daven. And what's going to happen? Of course, v'chaytfasay sheina, and sleep will overtake him. V'nimsa yashin kol halayla, and it will find him sleeping the entire night. However, ava, what should a person do? Adam ba min asada be'erev, in the evening. A person, when he comes from home, from work, in the evening, he should instead go nichnas to Beis HaKnesses. He should go straight to a shul. Imragel likrois kaira. If he wants to, if he knows how to read chumash, then he should read chumash kaira. Imragel lishnas. If he knows how to learn mishnayos and gemara shoyna, he should do that. The kaira kriyishma, then he should read kriyishma. Umis palal, and then daven. The oichal pita, then he should eat part of his bread. Umivarech, and then he should bench, and then he can go to sleep. Obviously, if it's done the other way, no need for mishalom. We all understand this. Without mishalom, then a person will just probably say Kriya Shema 3-4 times in his life. V'chol ha'oiv al divrei chachamim chayiv misa. And anybody who violates the chachamim and allows himself to read Kriya Shema after chatzos, due to the fact that he's not careful about the siyag, is chayiv misa, is liable for the death penalty. The Gemara says, "Ma'ishna b'chol duchte deloikatoni chayiv misa, ma'ishna hachatikatoni chayiv misa." Why everywhere else, when talking about the rabbanans, we don't say, "And if you violate it, you're chayiv misa," and here we do say that? The Gemara gives two answers. Because here it's almost definite that you're going to fall asleep. Alternatively, it's to avoid to the exclusion of the opinion that ma'ariv is you don't have to have ma'ariv. It's a permissible activity, and kamash that no, it is a required activity. We'll have stop here. Have a very easy and meaningful tainus.